Good morning, everyone. Check the calendar. It's the end of August, the beginning of September. And here in New York, that's a somber sort of moment as we prepare for the anniversary of September 11th. Since 2001, this moment in the calendar has had a different sort of meaning. And this year, the backdrop is really the vitriolic rhetoric that surrounds the proposed
Islamic
plans.
Cultural center, right?
Plans to build an Islamic center, including a mosque in Lower Manhattan. Some say near the Ground Zero site. Some say plans begun long before that. But the rhetoric has really concealed or lost in all the rhetoric is a detail that's worth noting, and that is the important relationship that's been fostered since 9/11 between the New York City's police department and the Muslim community in New York. And it's hardly a detail. It's more of a headline. That's how ambitious the program is. And here to tell us about it is Bob Henley, WNYC reporter who covers police and security for our partner station, WNYC. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning.
So explain just the level of entrepreneurship, social entrepreneurship, and innovation that's associated with the NYPD vigorously reaching out to Muslims, and there are many here in the New York community, to not only foster cooperation, but actually assist in police work.
Well, one of the things that happened post 9/11 is that Commissioner Kelly came back for a second time in 2002, and he understood that where jihadism had gotten traction in Europe and places like London, it was because the ethnic Muslim enclaves had kept their tribal narrative back from the old country, and there was a sense of alienation. They were separate from the place that they were currently living. So the idea was by creating a police department that resembled to some degree all the city's neighborhoods, the department could short-circuit the alienation from the city's civic sphere that is the prerequisite for terrorism. In order to blow people up, you have to think they're not human.
But the model specifically for what not to do came from Kelly's experience observing what went on in London.
Right, and also from a sense that it was the idea that you had to get people to buy in. The notion is that whatever clan you're from, once you're in the five boroughs, you're of the tribe of New York. And so as a result, he started, first of all, looking within the police department to find out that there were a lot of people who spoke Arabic, Pashto, and in a department that was traditionally dominated by guys named Kelly, this wouldn't be the lead card for advancement.
Yeah, so what's the pitch? How did it work? I mean, did Kelly say, we're looking for a few good Muslims posters around the city? Or is this a, hey, this is a growth place, this is a place you want to be?
Exactly. He got them to feel that they were part of the city's narrative. And so within the department, they found several hundred foreign language speakers to the point that they had people speaking Pashto, Farsi, Arabic, all the hard-to-find languages. To some degree, they had to lend them off into the federal government because New York City was ahead of the federal government in this regard. And then he married them to the precincts where these languages were spoken, and they brought with them the cultural sensitivity and nuance of how to engage people
with
the Muslim faith.
That's the puzzle for me. I can certainly understand that there are resources here in the New York area that Ray Kelly might rely on for investigative work, and as you say and have reported on this program, the NYPD is often an investigative asset for the FBI and for the CIA. The NYPD has operations around the world, not simply in New York, right?
Right, right.
How does that translate, though, into the cultural sensitivity, where it's not simply we need your Arabic speaking to help us capture terrorists, to the NYPD is literally on your side?
Well, when you have we have a Muslim Officers Association, they're of such significant number now. You have something like one in five of the new recruits is foreign-born. A majority of officers are officers of color now. So we've tipped over to resemble the mosaic that is the city of New York. That pays all kinds of dividends because people believe that the police department is on their side as long as they're working hard and abiding by the laws. That's the bigger picture.
So this is a serious step beyond the sort of community policing idea that came in with Giuliani. In this administration, it's a step further. How does that work?
Well, it's a total integration where you feel like you have a duty and obligation to connect with the police because you see yourself in the police. You see the resemblance of a cousin, a brother, a sister. And so all of a sudden, there's not that room for alienation that I'm going to blow these people up because they're not part of my narrative.
All right, but explain to me how it's not like this. You better volunteer to work for the NYPD because they're watching us all here in the neighborhood, here in these mosques. And if you don't rat out your brother, you're going to be in all kinds of trouble. How does it not work?
Well, when you have a situation where day in, day out, police officers are part of helping your parking problem. I mean, one of the great challenges for devout Muslims is to get to pray and get to the mosque the number of times a day they do. If you have a precinct commander and an entire police department that's clued into that, then you have a kind of engagement that's day in, day out, not just when there's a crisis.
So it's a kind of police athletic league meets
Funny
Arabic
you should
study.
Say that. Actually, one of the things that Kelly did is because one of the big problems is the alienation, as there's alienation between youth and adults throughout our culture, whether it be Columbine or wherever. They created a soccer leagues and cricket leagues with NYPD uniforms. And right now, Pakistani
get out, cricket leagues?
Cricket leagues?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So you meet people
where
they are.
You've got to do a story on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think we have.
Yeah, well, I mean, you got to do it for us.
For us.
I mean, cricket. No, I mean, the cricket story, not the general story. You got to go to one of these cricket matches.
Well, if you want people to defend their home, you have to make them comfortable in it.
Cricket is the key to diplomacy. Actually, in South Asia, I heard an Indian politician say that.
I know some people who get in huge fights over cricket.
That's right. It's a divisive force. How much of the NYPD's operation here, initiative here, is a model nationwide?
I think it's a national model and a global model for the way to have this the law enforcement and communities work together in a way that we haven't seen in the past. It really shows an opportunity here, even for the United States, the way that we project ourselves in the world.
You know, if politicians will point to this year's anniversary of 9/11 as an example of, look what's happened, we've got this controversy over the Islamic Center, focusing on this initiative, what would you say is the lesson from 9/11?
I think that they're missing the facts on the ground. This is an integrated city that respects its Muslim constituents.
And that's what you're going to be hearing from Ray Kelly and Mayor Bloomberg.
Consistently.
Bob Henley, WNYC reporter, talking about the NYPD initiative to encourage the multifaceted Muslim community in the five boroughs of New York City to become engaged and integrated in the NYPD. Thanks so much, Bob.
Thanks.